So right now I'm preaching from 1 Samuel, and going verse by verse, we're in 24 through 26, so if you have a Bible, electronic device, you want to follow along, you can. Going through three chapters. This particular sermon is on seeking peace and unity with Christians. And the setting is ancient Israel. Saul had been anointed king, but Saul's decisions, if you remember, have been very sinful. 16:14 says the Spirit of the Lord actually departed from Saul. 28:16 says the Lord became Saul's adversary. And so what happened is that God chose David, a man after his own heart, to replace Saul. And 18:12 says the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. Now, here's the thing about Saul at this time. He had what is called the anointing, but he did not have God's favor. And now Saul, in sin, was chasing David all over the countryside. He's trying to hurt David. He's trying to kill David. Now, this is the context for our lesson, so prepare your heart for this sermon. Always seek peace and unity with that hurtful Christian. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would bless us with this sermon this morning to be edified and to live what we learn for your glory. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Now, laying down new covenant revelation, which is always so important, as the foundation for our relationship with God, I have to do this. 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22 says, God anointed you. So, you know, you're sitting there and I'm standing here, and what we need to realize is when the scripture says this, it says that all of us have an anointing. God anointed every single one of us. And what does it say? It says, having established you in Christ, sealing you and giving you the Spirit in your heart. So you're anointed. That's what it means. 1 John 2:20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. So you are anointed. And you still might be thinking, what does that mean? It just means that God called you out and he set you apart in Christ and he's given you the Holy Spirit. Every single Christian, saved by grace through faith, every single Christian is anointed. Even in our imperfections, even though we can be hurtful, we're still anointed. And in our anointing, the Holy Spirit wants us to seek peace with one another, seek peace with the other anointed ones. Ephesians 4 says, be humble, be gentle in patience as you show tolerance for Christians in love. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It says, if you're angry, you can be angry. It says, if you're angry, just don't sin. Don't let the day end staying angry. Don't give the devil an open door to wreck life in Christ. And then it says, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Only say good things that build people up according to the need. Why? It says, so that your words will give grace. The anointed one is giving grace to the other anointed one. And it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and temper flares, malice and slander, just be put away from you. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. And then it says this, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Isn't it interesting in the New Covenant Foundation, it always goes back to Christ and God? So keeping these guiding words open in a text box, so to speak, as we view the Spirit's verse video from David and Saul on seeking peace and unity on your part with someone who is anointed, yet hurtful on their part, and we all know who that is, right? We've experienced that. Sometimes we are that. But here, King Saul is the icon of hurt. And he took an army to hunt down not the enemy Philistines, but David. And so his military is out there. They're looking for David. He gets to a big cave, huge cave. And Saul decides to go in. He's going to relieve himself. If you know what that means, I'll talk to you later. But unknown to Saul, David and his men are back in the recesses of the cave. And David's men whisper to David, wow, this is the time for which the Lord said to you, behold, I'm about to give your enemy into your hand to do to him as seems good to you. Well, hurtful Saul was really in hand's reach. So what David did is he snuck to where Saul laid down his robe, and David takes a knife and he cuts off a little piece of Saul's robe. But the thing about it is that David did not seek revenge. He did not seek personal justice or hurt. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit, okay? Right? Let's think about ourselves. But with David, he knew Deuteronomy 32:35, which is, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." For us, we know Romans 12:19, and it says, "Never take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God, saying, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" Well, David told his men he didn't want to hurt the herder because Saul was the Lord's anointed. That's what he said. He's the Lord's anointed. Now, here's the thing about people. To seek peace and unity with hurtful Christians, and you know who those people are, one of the obstacles that you must overcome is the strife-producing opinions of others. And you know who those people are too. People around you, friends, whether they're friends or whatever they are, others are not always thinking about respecting the anointing of God's people in our relationships. And sometimes they're not thinking about God's will at all. But there are times that they'll tell you that retaliation is God's will. And bystanders can give you all kinds of reasons to retaliate, to seek revenge, to divide, to attack. But God called you and called me, called us, to be His spiritual peacemakers who are after His own heart, just like David. And it's important to hear God's voice over the background, all the background noise that's going on from others. And you get a lot of it. All this advice that you can get. I've had it happen with me. Well, David knew that God was not happy with Saul. And David knew that God anointed David to replace Saul. And David knew it was not God's will for Saul to hate David. But David also knew two very important things. Vengeance is God's, and Saul was also God's anointed. So instead of attacking Saul, David sought the heart of God. That's what we all need to do. Seek the heart of God. And what did he do? He chose to be humble. He chose to be gentle in patience, to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, to not give the devil opportunity, to not let any unwholesome word proceed from his mouth. He decided he's not going to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He's not going to let bitterness and wrath and anger and a temper flare just flame up, malice, slander. No, he's not going to have that come in return as hurt for hurt. And so no matter what others say, what we really need to do is seek God's voice to do God's voice. And I'm preaching on God's voice. So David persuaded his men to think the same way. Now, part of seeking peace and unity with a hurtful Christian, you're not only going to have to be calm, you're going to have to calm the emotions of others, correcting their zeal to stir things up. And here's what we do. Show the better way. Just keep seeking God. Keep going that way. Now, when hurtful Saul left the cave, David followed him out, and David called out to Saul. And when Saul looked back, he did not see David arrogantly standing there. David laid down with his face to the ground as he spoke to Saul. And what David was doing, he was operating in a better way, the way of self-diminishing humbleness. David knew he needed to speak with Saul, very important. But he also knew that others were speaking to Saul, lots of voices. And it's those voices of troublemakers who stir up strife between brothers and sisters. Saul was getting them too. And so David urged Saul to turn away from the strife spewing from the mouths of others. And David asked him, he said, "Why do you listen to the words of men who are telling you, 'Look, David seeks to harm you'?" Well, David explained the reality of his heart in following God. And then David said, "I forgive you, Saul." Now, when you encounter that hurtful Christian, be humble, be godly, don't expect them to, but show them you're not a threat. And what are you showing them? Jesus. Speak forgiveness. David said, "Well, you can see that the Lord gave you into my hand in the cave, and others told me to kill you, but I spared you, saying, 'I will not stretch out my hand against you because you are the Lord's anointed.'" Now remember, all of us Christians are the Lord's anointed. And what we need to do is we look at what David did. Notice he mentioned the Lord. Always bring God into the conversation. Keep reminding everyone. The herder. Keep reminding everyone. We are all God's anointed. We all need to love each other as Christ loves each of us. Our feelings don't matter as much as we think in this situation. What does matter is God and what God thinks about our feelings. And so David says, See, the edge of your robe is in my hand. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. Always show that you've decided to follow the Lord and not being hurtful, even though you could have been hurtful. You can still be hurtful, but you're not. Why? You are talking about God. You're deferring to God. You're bringing God into the picture. You're letting people know. Let yourself know. David said, recognize there's no evil or rebellion in my hands. Recognize that I've not sinned against you, he said to Saul, though you're trying to kill me. That's what he said. And so what David was showing Saul is that Saul was wrongly calling the grace bearer, that's David, wrongly calling him his enemy. And so David wanted Saul to understand that the payback mentality is a sin mentality. We're talking about vengeance, personal vengeance, not talking about defense, defending others and things like that. And so by explaining that David was not seeking to pay back Saul's hurtful behavior with hurtful behavior, David indirectly pointed out that Saul was the one guilty of sin. That's what he called it. And so David was showing what we all need to do. He kept on pointing the situation back to God. He's saying, this is in God's arena, not yours, Saul, not mine. This is a God issue, okay? Now remember, always bring Jesus into the conversation. So many times that Christians forget this one thing when they encounter a problem brother or sister. Actually, when they encounter just about anything, don't forget this. Bring God into the picture all the time. He's always there. He is the picture. It's the most important thing. Mention the Lord in every conversation. You know, David said, may the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me in respect to you, but my hand shall not be against you. And then David quoted an ancient proverb, out of the wicked comes forth wickedness. But he said, my hand shall not be against you. David is not allowing God's word to take a back seat. Always keep it in the front seat. We want it to drive us, but we also want it to drive others. We want it to drive the hurtful person. Now, on the Lord avenging David in respect to Saul, that's the scripture, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So anointing is supposed to appeal to anointing with the words that we're all supposed to agree are the words that matter. You say, well, what about if they don't think it matters? Then that's their problem. That's between them and God. It's supposed to matter to them. They're God's anointed. Saul, same way. It's God's word. That's what matters. And so mostly what you're doing is you're reminding others of what they already know. You're just prompting them to acknowledge it, to snap into the God understanding of what's going on in life. God's involved in this. He's not happy with us hurting each other. You know, and what about that proverb that David quoted to Saul? Out of the wicked comes forth wickedness. Interesting. Well, with us, the Christ covenant explains that we are all saved precisely because of the innate wickedness in all humans. And this is why we all need Jesus. We all need his continuous grace covenant blanketing us, really, covering us all the time at all moments. This is the thing about our righteousness. You are righteous by faith, the scripture says. Declared righteous by faith. Romans 3:9 explains, there is none righteous, not even one. 3:21 through 23 goes on, and it says, the righteousness of God has been manifested, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, so you get the righteousness of God, because belief is faith, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being declared righteous as a gift by his grace, through the payment price to redeem, which is in Christ Jesus. And then 4:5 caps it. 4:5. The one who does not work to try to attain being declared righteous by God, but believes in God through Christ who declares the ungodly righteous, that person's faith is credited as righteousness. You want to be righteous by faith and not works, folks. This sermon that I'm doing is not about being righteous by works. It's about following the Lord and just doing what he says. And when you do that, it's a righteous thing. It doesn't make you righteous. And then I'm going to add in 1 Corinthians 1:29 through 31. Nobody can boast before God because by his doing, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to you righteousness and being set apart and the payment price to redeem you, so that just as it's written, let him boast in the Lord. Let whoever is anointed boast to the one who anoints you, right? And so we live with bondage to wickedness having already been dealt with. Now, the righteousness you have by faith, that should come forth too. That's the point. You see, the righteousness you have by faith should come forth in righteous actions as a manifestation of Christ Jesus. It's not a manifestation of the flesh. Of course, you have to be you to do it, but it's Christ in you. And David said, in this illustration we have, "The Lord, therefore, be judge and decide between you and me, Saul, you and me. And may he see and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." So you think about David talking to Saul right there. The message got through to Saul. I mean, it pierced his heart. And Saul actually started crying, the scripture said, right there. And he said to David, "You are more righteous than I am. You have dealt well with me, while I have dealt wickedly with you." Now, when it comes to dealing with that hurtful Christian, your actions are a very powerful testimony. When hurtful Christians see you going the way of Christ in you, they see you going the righteous way. You're manifesting the righteousness of the Lord. You're showing them that they can do the same thing according to the Spirit. And what they're doing is they're forced to see that they have taken the wrong route. Your forgiveness and grace is an amazing, piercing thing to people. It disarms, especially Christians, disarms them. They're confronted by the Holy Spirit. And so Saul went so far as to bless David, saying, "May the Lord therefore reward you with good." Well, they both departed in peace, which is what we'd like to see. But the thing about always seeking peace and unity with that hurtful Christian is the problem of somebody else. Who do you think that is, anointed one? How about your own self? Right? You can easily become the hurtful Christian others have to deal with. There was a rich Israelite man, and he lived in the area. His name was Nabal. Nabal had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and this signified his wealth. The name Nabal literally means fool, and Nabal was described as harsh and evil and actually very foolish. Now, when Nabal's shepherds and flocks were in the wilderness, David and his men would protect them. Nabal's men described David's protection like being a wall around them. This is the way these shepherds out in the field saw David and his men, always out there in their presence. It's like a wall protecting them from people stealing their stuff, hurting them. And so one day, David sent some men to Nabal to tell Nabal how they had treated Nabal's men, how they'd been treating his flocks, and to ask Nabal to show kindness and share some provision with David and his men during a particular time, which was the festivity of the sheep shearing time of festivity. There's a big sheep shearing time, and during this time, people would share things like some of the wool and even a lot of food because people would be eating. And the people that were wealthy would have the shearers there, and they would share a bunch of food with them. So these men came from David to Nabal and just asked and said, "Hey, look, we've been taking care of your people, your flocks. We'd like a little bit of help ourselves." Well, Nabal answered them in a very foolish and hurtful way. He said, "Who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? You know, there are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master." He meant David running from Saul. "Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I don't know?" Wow. Nabal's words were shameful, offensive, and hurtful. And we all know somebody who's done that to us, right? And holding back help for David and his men was very hurtful to David. When David got word about Nabal's response, he overreacted. Now that's the danger, and it's looming there for all of us. It can be emotional, it can be embarrassment, it can be pride. David probably had a mixture of all of that. I think a mixture of all of that hits all of us at times, right? It hits me that way. That's straightforward with you. And David reacted the way the Spirit wants us to avoid, the way he wants Carrie and all of us, you, to avoid, which is the way of hurt. David got his men to arm themselves. They set out for Nabal's place for one thing, to return hurt for what they considered hurt. And here's what David said: "I guarded all this man has in the wilderness in futility. Now he has returned evil to me for good. By morning, I will not leave as much as one male who belongs to him." Well, David's vengeful anger did what such responses often do. Innocent people are victimized. David was on his way to hurt Nabal, but also to kill Nabal's male servants. And what makes this even more tragic is that those same servants had always appreciated David and his men. They did. They were merely servants of a tyrant. They were controlled by a fool. But David turned them into his enemies, into his victims. And this was because of David's problem. It's the problem of self. Self. David's anointed, by the way. Remember that. Saul is anointed. Nabal is a covenant child of God. He's an Israelite. Always humbly recognize the problem of self when it comes to your own self. Now, word got back to Nabal's wife, Abigail. She was told what Nabal said, and she found out about David's reaction. So, without telling her husband, she gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep that were already prepared, ready to be eaten, roasted grain, raisins, and cakes of figs. She put it all on donkeys, and she went out to encounter David. And when Abigail saw David, she got down, she fell on her face before him. What she was being was an ambassador. She was going out. She was getting involved in seeking peace and unity because her husband had been hurtful, and David was about to be returning hurt beyond words. Just unimaginable. Well, Abigail's approach to David was to get him to see his situation again. Remember this principle. From whose perspective? From God's perspective. From God's. This is the big thing about wanting to get back with that hurtful Christian. We've got to see it not from our perspective, but from God's. And she prophetically said, the Lord was the one holding back David from shedding innocent blood by avenging himself by his own hand. She told him that already. She said her mission was God stopping David. And so if God, through Abigail, had not intervened, David would have been guilty of going against Deuteronomy 32:35. Vengeance belongs to God alone. She told David she wished all who opposed him would be as meaningless and ineffective as her foolish husband Nabal. She is simply pointing out that Nabal's actions were trivial to David in reality. And so she presented her gift of food, which is exactly what David had asked for in the first place, all of this food for his people. And she also asked for David's forgiveness. All of this is a wise, godly approach for us to consider in appealing to those who have been offended. Now, Abigail continued, and she prophetically said that when the Lord fulfilled all the good that he had spoken concerning David, and that when the Lord appoints David ruler over Israel, that David's actions in this current situation will not cause grief or a troubled heart for David because he did the right thing by not shedding blood without cause in avenging himself. That's what she said. Avenging blood without cause. Avenging himself. So, like when King Saul saw David's wisdom in pointing out God's heart, David saw Abigail's wisdom in pointing out God's heart. Not talking about the hearts of men. We're talking about God. Remember, David is supposed to be a man after God's own heart. Well, he is. He's not perfect. And David's deviation from the heart of God had been held back on course by a covenant sister, an anointed woman. See, anointed by God as an Israelite in covenant, Abrahamic, Mosaic. David's eyes were reopened to seeing the eyes of God again. He said to Abigail, blessed be God who sent you to meet me today. He recognizes God's hand at work, seeking peace, unity with this hurtful but foolish Israelite brother. He said, blessed be you, Abigail, because you kept me from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. See that? Well, see, that's the reaction that you hope to see. And David told Abigail, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would have not been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one male. Well, when Abigail got back, she told Nabal, and when Nabal realized the seriousness of his foolish hurtfulness, he went into shock. He actually became catatonic. Verse 38 says that about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died, which means what? It was the vengeance of the Lord. The Lord did repay. And when David heard Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal and has kept me back from wrongdoing. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal back on his own head. Always be aware that God is active in our lives. He knows about the hurt. When others do it to you, when you do it to others, when you hold back your grace, he knows when you hold back your hurt. He always knows. He's always working. Well, later, David sent a marriage proposal to widowed Abigail to be his wife. She accepted. She married David. And so that's pretty amazing, but sometimes hurtful people just keep at it. Just means that we need to keep at seeking peace and unity with them. Again, King Saul went out to kill David. Takes an army, 3,000 men with him. He's out there. He's just going to find David and kill him. Well, one night, David and another man, Abishai, snuck into Saul's camp, and they had to come in the middle of the night. If you can think about it, 3,000 people. Saul's sleeping. He's got his spear stuck in the ground right above his head. Abner, the commander of Saul's army, he's laying nearby. All these 3,000, all the rest of them are camped around them. Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hand." He's probably whispering to him. He says, "Therefore, please let me spear him." This is Abishai talking to David. Now remember our lessons. Others will try to get you to take the route of disunity, of strife, the kind of actions that keep the fireball rolling. You know, remember the reasons. It's always, well, it's hurt for hurt. So let's keep going that route. Hurt for hurt, hurt for hurt. Just keeps on going. But God wants you to quickly throw water on the fire, like Abigail did to David. But now it's David throwing the water. He said to Abishai, "Do not kill him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?" That's the issue with you and me. It's the issue of transgressing the law of Christ to love our brothers and sisters as he loves us. If we stretch out our hand against the Lord's anointed, what's happening to us? We're guilty. When we follow the law of Christian love, we're living in innocence. And if you're going to be found guilty of anything, let it be manifesting the life of Christ. Now, with David, the water he threw on the fire, it was a river of life that was flowing from God. So there they are. It's in the night. David tells Abishai, he says, "Either the Lord's going to strike Saul, or Saul's day will come that he dies, or Saul will go into battle and perish." It's just meaning that somehow, some way, at some time, Saul's life's going to end. God deals with everyone the way God deals with them. And God deals with Christians by his Holy Spirit. That's what we need to know. He works in us. He molds all of God's people are molded. He chastises them. He does it in love. David said, "The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed." He just keeps saying that. And this is why we really need to recognize our brothers and sisters in Christ as being special, really, truly connected to us through our connection to God. Everyone is the Lord's anointed in Christ. Now, instead of then killing Saul, what they did is they stole Saul's spear and a jug of water that was beside his head. And verse 12 says, "Nobody saw them because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen on the camp." Isn't that interesting? The sleep was from the Lord. God's always at work. And as you seek peace and unity with that hurtful Christian, trust that good is coming from the Lord. He's at work. Trust that you're his instrument. You know, you're bringing the love. Well, David goes over to the top of a mountain that was across the way. He yells to the camp for them to see the king's spear and the jug of water that he had taken. And as before, David asked Saul why he was chasing him. Now he's asking him out there like with an amphitheater in front of everybody. And again, David addresses the voices that are trying to stoke the fires of hurt. David said that if the Lord was the one who stirred Saul up against David, then let's just offer up a sin offering right now. Take care of it. That's a checkmate. But then David said, but if it was men, then they are cursed before the Lord. So again, David reminded Saul of their common covenant connection with God. David wasn't sinning against Saul, but Saul was getting those voices. And so again, Saul listened to David's voice. And Saul said, "I have sinned. I will not harm you. I have been a fool. And I have committed a serious error." And then David gave Saul back his spear. And he said, "The Lord will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I refuse to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed." Well, there's your lesson. David and Saul once again departed in peace. So the take home is this: always seek peace. Always seek unity with that hurtful Christian. And again, I'm telling you, you know who they are, and you know who they will be. They're not perfect, and so hurtfulness can be there. You've been slandered. You've been wronged. You ache. Yeah, it hurts. But work through the ache by agreeing with God that He is the anointer, and He has anointed that hurtful person. You're not saying they're justified, okay? You're not saying they're innocent. You're not saying that they are not at fault. That's not what you're saying. What you're doing is you're being humble. You're being obedient. You're being gentle and patient. You're seeking to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit, to keep the love glue there of the bond of peace. And that's the thing. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't speak unwholesome words. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't let bitterness, wrath, anger, temper flares, or slander enter into your response. This is the will of the Lord. Amen.